At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? I'm so pumped about today's show. I know Tuesdays are usually the John and Wayne show, but it is Wayne's anniversary today. Everybody go wish him well, him and his amazing wife. All that they do for the community is awesome. So I apologize, but you guys are stuck with me today. I've got a lot to talk about. Was at training camp yesterday and, you know, just digging through my notes and just going through kind of what was shown yesterday. Obviously, you had the, you know, myriad of all the roster cuts and roster moves and whatever else. But this is a different roster. And I've kind of been, you know, harping on this idea that the 2025 roster is very, very different construction-wise, design-wise, than any other team since Shanahan and Lynch have been here. That's starting to pan out. And you're starting to see kind of the repercussions of that, both good and bad. Whenever your two priorities are younger, cheaper, and, you know, that was echoed from the owner to front office personnel to John Lynch to Kyle Shanahan, all throughout, you know, that permeated this offseason. You saw him kind of sit out in free agency. You saw him use 11 draft picks, bring in, you know, a bunch of undrafted free agents. And then even whenever injuries continue to pile up, which they sadly still are, you're not bringing in any really. It's only bottom of the barrel free agent signings from this point out. Like, I mean, there are still some prize free agents out there that you could get, but they're going to cost more. And the 49ers are just not going down that road at all, at any position. At corner, at running back, at wide receiver, at O-line, at D-end, doesn't matter. So they're sticking to kind of, you know, their whole MO for this year, which is basically rebuild, retool, let's find some young positions that are going to hit, and let's see what that looks like. So I want to go through a handful of names that you guys got to start getting used to. And they're probably names that you didn't expect. And I'll be honest with you, you know, we're still continuing our 49ers roster countdown series. And man, yeah, obviously you rank 1 through 91 before one single practice. You're going to be wrong on some. We were right on a lot, but we were still wrong on some. And there's still more shakeups to do. We haven't had our first preseason game yet, all those different things. But, you know, this 49ers kind of major 49ers observations about the roster is kind of what today is going to be about. And San Mateo, this is awesome. This is the best use of hashtags perhaps ever on this channel. San Mateo, he says, hashtag CC, hashtag justice for Nayer, hashtag bubble wrap Garindo, hashtag 1, 2, 3 Nepo babies. Thank you. Whatever the assignment was, you passed. I appreciate you. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. You guys are awesome. And yeah, look at this monkey. In the past, we had the luxury of keeping project players like Pline and Nayer in previous years. But given the revamp and the injuries this year, can't afford those rosters. There are more young players on this roster. Maybe not age-wise, but first, second, you know, third-year project players, young potential. What's potential mean? Hey, you haven't done it yet. You can't have a roster all of that. So that's why you're seeing guys like Nayer not even get a chance at a preseason game, right? Mason Plyne, who, again, a lot of people were saying he was going to be a starter last year. And I was just like, guys, this guy's not getting any practice reps whatsoever, ever. He's not even getting into the preseason games. But it was, you were fine with that because the idea was we're just going to park him, redshirt year, let him learn the system. We'll see what year two looks like. And, you know, if the 49ers had their way, then you still would keep those two guys, but you have so many of those guys. Braydon Willis still falls under that category. Jake Tonjes still falls under that category. And that's just at tight end, right? Then you go to the wide receiver position. Well, you got Tariq Owens. He falls under that category. And, like, Tariq Owens has been better than Isaiah Nayer, and he's been in the system an entire year longer. So that's going to kind of affect all those things. And consistency is a big deal. And whenever you have, again, the other kind of project, Jacob Cowing is injured and not even getting reps, you can't just exactly cut him. I guess you could, and I'm sure those conversations were had, which is sad. But you've got Jordan Watkins, young, potential player. You've got, you know, Ricky Pearsall. I think he's a little bit more established. But then, you know, Jacob Cowing, Junior Bergen, Isaiah Nayer, Tariq Owens. How many young projected players do you need stacked at one position? Well, you get an injury or two to a couple guys, and it's like, man, we got to have somebody running routes during practice that we can trust. Nayer, again, I love the hype that goes around certain undrafted free agents. Like, you ain't got to tell me. I mean, shoot, I record with Larry almost every single week. Larry's the best. Like, Larry's an Isaiah Nayer guy. But at the same time, like, he kind of, you know, cherishes those late guys, and that's awesome. How many of these guys can you have at one spot? That's the issue. Somebody's got to hit, and whenever you get all these injuries, which the 49ers have stacked, now you're kind of hurting. And so there's only so much, because you got to practice and you got to have guys that have a shot. And, you know, if you're looking at Isaiah Nayer and you're like, man, this guy has freak potential. You heard George Kittle talk about all those things. But at the same time, you have this conversation. It's like, okay, we like his potential. Is there any way he's going to contribute early for us this season, in season? Is there any world where we see Isaiah Nayer suiting up and running routes in the first month of the season? Everybody says no. And they're like, well, we got to move on then. Because do you trust Tariq Owens more? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Do you trust, you know, do you get two guys like Jacob Cowing? Do you trust him more? The answer is yes, even though he's not practicing. Do you trust Jordan Watkins more? He's shown you enough that, I didn't like Jordan Watkins' tape at all, but he has shown things in camp. He has shown things in minicamp and mentality and all those things where it's like, look, man, we've got so many of these young guys at the same position that I do think we could trust and still have that upside. We got to move on. And so whenever you pepper your roster with so many young question mark project players and then injuries happen, it forces your hand. You can't hide under the disguise of, well, we like the potential, we like the athleticism, we like the ceiling. That ends. And, you know, you're not at the 53-man roster cutdown point yet. But whenever you have all these damn injuries and you have so many veterans that can't practice anyway because you're giving them rest days, your hand's forced. It is. What's up, Yacek? Oh, we got Lieutenant Simple Jack. Well, one of the coolest things yesterday was sitting up in the stands with Raj and Rob Lauder and some, you know, so many great friends. It was just so cool just chat with those guys. And shout out to Rob Lauder, Striking Gold Podcast, everything that he does. Such a good dude, man. If you haven't checked out that podcast, please do so. I'm sure he gets way more than I do. But, like, that dude is just a good dude. Knows what he's talking about, too. So shout out to him. He'll be out there covering, I think, all week. So looking forward to your tweets and all those Robbie Chosen. I will say this. Having number three Robbie Chosen out there is entertaining to say the least. You've got to have people that you trust. And, you know, Andy Isabella gets shaken up in punt return practice. Whatever. And Robbie Chosen out there getting all these snaps. And it's like there's zero chance that dude's going to be playing week one. Zero. I hate to say that. And good luck to you, Robbie Chosen. I hope you prove me wrong. But, like, you have to have guys to be able to perform a reasonable practice, and Isaiah Nayer wasn't one. That's just what it is. It's what it is. What's up, Thomas? Appreciate you, man. He says, a little JC to pass the time while I'm working. That's what's up. Get that money, man. Hustle, hustle. Friday Night Lights countdown. I love it, man. Let's go 40. Get the work done, baby. I don't know who you guys got week one. I got to look that up. Love all the hashtags, CCs. What's up, Oscar? We got Ben in the chat. No, we're not going after Micah Parsons. There's zero chance he gets traded. Yeah, it's what it is. Yeah, there we go. Patch and Rob Lauder today. What's good? I freaking love me some Rob Lauder. So, yeah, Ronnie says, you know, what's your thoughts on the team cutting Nair? I don't like it. And you can try to get him back. And that's the thing. Like, we saw the 49ers cut Taylor Hawkins, right? Safety prospect who they love. Multiple time practice squad player of the week. Low ceiling player. He's a little bit different than Nair. But they cut him a week ago. Well, then Jair Brown gets hurt again. Well, we've got to have another safety. Malik's out. Jair Brown's out. All right, bring back Taylor Hawkins. Like, we've got to have more safeties. We've got to have more work for special teams. Like, it's a numbers game. So the 49ers are kind of juggling. And, you know, you cut the kicker, you cut the quarterback, all these different things. The 49ers are wanting to bring a lot of these guys back. But you can't do it with all the injuries because you've got to perform a stable practice. And on top of that, man, you got joint practices coming with the Broncos. So you've got to be able to get some of these positions filled. And you're just kind of stuck whenever you – the 49ers changed their mindset after Javon Kinlaw, and they usually draft players with very little to no injury history unless it's late. There are a few exceptions to those. Isaac Garrido, Curtis Rourke, some of those guys. And, you know, the other guys that get in – Jacob Cowie never missed a game. Never missed a game in college. Never. Ricky Pearsall never missed a game in college. Never. Those guys have been banged up nonstop. So it does, past health sustainability doesn't always dictate future health sustainability. And the fact that you're never injured in the past doesn't mean you won't be. Football's 100% injury sport. You're hoping that some of those guys can stay healthy, and it just hasn't happened. And that's been an issue. It's been a major issue. It really, really has. And so this 49ers team's going to have to kind of buckle down. And, you know, you're giving all these guys vet days, which is good because you want your Bosa and Trent Williams and CMC and, you know, whatever else, all those guys out there. But, man, it's hard whenever you have all these injuries. It is hard. What's up, Alex? Appreciate you, man. Salutations from Texas. Man, have some barbecue for me, brother. A lot of guys have been having some good training camps, and that's kind of what I want to talk about. And right here, Ben, Dallas Flowers is making this team. Dallas Flowers is – that dude's getting reps with the ones with Diamandour Lenore yesterday. And he's been getting reps nonstop. And, you know, I put out on Twitter last night, like, what I think the outside cornerback depth chart is. And – here's basically how it goes. Okay, your top two corners, Diamandour Lenore, Renardo Green. Those two guys are in a stratosphere by themselves. There's a giant gap or a different tier set, however you want to illustrate that. The second tier, Dallas Flowers, Trey Brown. Those are your number three and number four guys. And Dallas Flowers is the guy that currently is ahead. Now, Trey Brown is probably going to make this roster too because Trey Brown plays inside and outside for the 49ers. So, like, he's kind of the Mr. Versatility. He can play all over the place, and they really, really like him. And the physicality, you see 22 show up out there a lot in practice. But Dallas Flowers is the guy that they like more. So, outside corner only, we're not talking nickel slot corner. Demo and Renardo Green, that's your first tier. Second tier is Dallas Flowers, Trey Brown. Then there's another gigantic gap, probably bigger than the first gap. And then you've got Darrell Luter Jr. and Eli Apple.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Darrell Luter Jr., I don't know how much longer he's going to be on this roster. Maybe it was just a horrible day. And again, I have to kind of re-illustrate. Dude was never at training camp the first two seasons. Injuries, just couldn't get healthy. This is his first real training camp. Now, he did just get back from personal excuse to being out for personal reasons. I just want to say, man, I really hope everything's okay with his family, and I hope he's doing all right. We never know what's going on with that stuff. And anytime I see that, I always like hold my breath, and I hope it's something really positive. That's going to affect your mentality. Coming yesterday was his first day back from that. But, man, that dude just got torched all up and down the field, one-on-ones, team, scale, didn't matter. Just it was so bad. Whoever went against him looked amazing. I'm hoping he can kind of rebound, and, you know, maybe I just was there at a bad day. I don't know. But Darrell Luter Jr. is not a viable option at this moment. Now, the nickel role, that's a little bit different. The nickel corner spot, Demo's number one, but they're trying to keep him outside. I think Upton Stout is number two, Trey Brown is number three, and I would argue Jacob Robinson would be number four. And so, you know, what can you do to keep Jacob Robinson? Look at Logan. Is it crazy to think that Jacob Robinson is better than him? I like Jacob. I think they like Jacob Robinson. He's feisty. He shows up all the time. You're always like, ooh, who's that? Oh, that's Jacob Robinson. Oh, ooh, okay, all right. Always by the ball, just always in the right area. But I think he's, again, one of those players that is a year out. I think the body, the time, he needs to develop a little bit more. And I really like Jacob Robinson. When we had him on the show right after the Niners signed him, dude was awesome. I really, really enjoyed talking with Jacob Robinson. He was just a cool dude. But I think he is a project play that could have outside corner versatility, but I think they like him in the slot now and could play special teams. He could play safety too. So Jacob Robinson's kind of like Mason Plyne last year or Taylor Hawkins last year, or, you know, some of those guys last year where it's like, you know what? We like him, but probably a year out. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he makes this roster, but there's so many viable NFL experienced, you know, corners ahead of him at that nickel spot where he might be. Jacob Robinson might be better. Like, I really do like what he offers. It's just, I think he's going to need some time. So now the question goes to, okay, well, what do you do at corner? Who are your three corners? Well, you want it to be Diamandour, Lenore, and Renardo Green. Those two, without a doubt. But who's the three? And I think it comes down to Upton Stout and Dallas Flowers. I really, really do. Dallas Flowers making this team. Like, yeah, dude's making this team. Might be a starter. I think it's a 50-50 shot between Dallas Flowers and Upton Stout. But again, you got to remember, who you play in week one? Well, that's a divisional game, Seattle. At Seattle, all right. And then you're playing against one of the better slot wide receivers in the NFL. Not only at Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but also Cooper Kupp. Which, you know, Cooper Kupp, I don't think Seattle's going to line him up outside all the time. I think they want to keep him in the slot, but you also have JSN. Like, do you want Upton Stout against two of the most crafty kind of slot whatever? I know Cooper Kupp's long in the tooth and whatever else, but the way he plays with his leverage and, you know, finding space and reading coverages, all that stuff, like, that's pretty important. It's like, and you hear all the things about Upton Stout coming out, and it's, you know, of Kyle Shanahan's mouth, Robert Saleh's mouth, like, everybody's just like, yeah, this dude is freaking awesome. But what do you do week one? The 49ers typically roll with kind of, you know, the veteran option early. But yeah, I don't know how you're going to handle that. I personally would much rather have Dallas Flowers out there, who has a lot of experience on him. But if Upton Stout keeps doing what he's doing, I mean, he's checking every box. And you want to fight fire with fire, you put that dude out there, Upton Stout, and you just let him just go at it. So I don't know. And you still have time to kind of solidify what you want to go with there. Sorry, I had to take a drink of coffee. But, man, I'd say right now it's 50-50. But I think the decision is down to, assuming everybody's healthy, Demo, Renardo Green, and then Dallas Flowers as the outside number three, and then you kick Demo in like you have been for the past few years, or Upton Stout just comes in at nickel and you just keep Demo outside, which that's what Kyle wants. That is what Kyle, they want to keep Demo outside. They do. Logan says, if Dallas Flowers is on a higher tier, Jacob Robinson ain't far off, at least to me. Yeah, I just think they see him as a project play. And not to be like, you know, rude or anything like that to Jacob Robinson. I hope that's not what's coming across. But right here, San Mateo agreed. Doesn't seem like Luter has any grit or relentlessness. I actually like Flowers, and Robinson seems very similar to Sean Jameson. I really missed him. Wish we kept him. Take the chance on ball production. Yeah, I'm with you there. I really, really do. And so I do like that. I do like that. Right here, Thomas. Upton might be too good to keep off the field. By the end of the year, he'll keep Lenore exclusively outside. I think that's right. And I think I 100% agree with you. But you remember, like, Diamandour Lenore didn't even start week one his second year. They went with the veteran experience, and then Demo took his job. And from there, it was, you know, no looking back. You look at Isaiah Oliver started week one. You look at Isaac Yottam started week one. Like, and I know those are two different DCs than Steve Wilks, Nick Sorensen. But, like, there is just something in the NFL on giving the benefit of the doubt, and perhaps even more than the tiebreaker benefit of the doubt, to the veteran experience, somebody who has played and done it before in the NFL. Not saying that's what Robert Saleh and the 49ers are going to do. And if I'm Upton Stout, I'm taking every damn chance. You have no choice. You will start me week one. You have no choice. You will start me week one. But I'm just telling you kind of where the leaves are falling currently, right? And that's why I think it's important. Right here, Eli Apple in the mix. His reps are solid. He's good in one-on-ones. I know Eli Apple is burnt toast. I understand he has some of the worst low lights, if you want to call that, of any. But that dude has played a lot of damn football, and he is savvy. And, you know, the one thing I will say about Eli Apple, who I don't think he has, like, you know, the legitimate speed. So y'all are going to get upset at this. If you told me Eli Apple is guarding one of Seattle's wide receivers, you told me it was Cooper Kupp, I would be somewhat okay with that, because that is savvy on savvy. That is experience on experience. Yeah, obviously, I think Cooper Kupp's better than Eli Apple, but you kind of negate what Cooper Kupp brings with Eli Apple's seen it before, and I don't think Cooper Kupp's going to torch him over the top. What terrifies me is Eli Apple against Marquez Valdes-Scantling or, you know, Tony Horton, those like small burst type wide receivers that could get over the top of him. Eli Apple, if he just keeps everything underneath him, I think he's going to be all right. And you watch him at one-on-ones, like, dude's working, physical, all that stuff. But I don't think he's a viable option on the 53-man roster, but it is nice to have that parachute. Let's say Renardo Green's not healthy. Let's say Diamandour Lenore's hip acts back up. You know, if those guys can't go, then Eli Apple is a viable candidate because of how experienced he is, all those different things. You know, like, that's kind of where I stay. But, again, I do not want Eli Apple taking snaps at all. Jam, Luter will be on the practice squad. He was a fifth-round pick, and I think if he gets cut, I don't think he wants to come back. I think he wants a new look, personally. It just hasn't gone well here. He was Sorensen's guy. That's never a good thing. The major turnover in the Super Bowl, but yeah, who knows? Who knows? Ben, I love Upton Stout. Seeked out Kaywan Williams to learn what he could. Yeah, the quote is, Upton Stout has been a has learned what it means to be a pro on and off the field already. That is top of the charts. Awesome. I didn't really like the Upton Stout pick. I didn't think it was a bad pick. I thought corner was a major need. I thought outside corner was a bigger need. And Upton Stout is like, this is probably just an inside guy only. But it doesn't matter where they're picked. It doesn't matter what, you know, people like me think. It matters how they use them. And the Niners, you know, that's huge. That's huge. And I'll be honest with you, the Niners didn't even want Upton Stout. The Niners were going to take an offensive tackle there. I am dead set on that. Six offensive tackles went in the previous 12 picks right before them. And two of the guys that the Niners met with over and over and over, I think it was Charles Grant and Carlos Rogers. Those two tackles, like, they were going to get one of them, and the Raiders took two tackles the two picks before. But so, like, I think they liked Upton Stout, but I think they were going to go tackle there. John Lynch said, you know, sometimes the board doesn't go where you want it. We had a couple guys, and they both went right before it. Like, better to be lucky than good. And maybe those other tackles are amazing and whatever else. But it is funny because, you know, we look back in hindsight, even with things like Brock Purdy, right? Like, oh, Brock Purdy, Niners were so smart. They were smarter than everybody else. No, they weren't. They passed on Brock Purdy like eight times. They were just more right than the other teams. But sometimes the board has to go the way that you want it. Let me rephrase that. Sometimes the board doesn't go the way you want it to, and it's to your own benefit. Maybe that's that Upton Stout pick. And how cool would it be if Upton Stout is the best draft choice of this draft? Like, that would not be a negative. If you could hit like that on a third-round comp pick, which the Niners have never done, I don't think we have one quality third-round comp pick at all. And so if Upton Stout is that guy, whew, I love it. Kevin, my man, he says, with them wanting to be younger and cheaper, maybe ties to the rookies this year, they're going to play whether you want them to or not. They're going to. Yahtzee. Fun fact, Eli Apple is 67 years old. Yeah, in corner years. That's true. That is very true. Kawachipto, I trade Luter. You might be able to do a swap, kind of like what you see the Eagles just did with the Raiders, where they swapped a DT for, you know, I wouldn't be upset with that at all. Go get a tight end, go get a running back, go get a wide receiver. The sad thing is you need outside corners, but yeah, I think the writing's kind of on the wall. Sadly, Luter gets Womack. Womack got Lutered. If that makes sense, we lost Samuel Womack, who would be the number three outside corner guaranteed on this team, if not for stupid Nick Sorensen not being able to evaluate that player. We literally cost you the damn Super Bowl. A healthy scratch, Womack, one of the best special teams player in the NFL for Luter, and the fumble happens. Oh, man, you're going to piss me off. No, Asante Samuel is not available. I don't know who keeps regurgitating this. He's not available. He's not healthy. He's not cleared. His neck, he had injury like on his spinal cord neck. Like, and he came out and said he is not available to be signed. He is not ready. He's going to wait till he's fully cleared and all the way back, and then he will make that known to teams. Asante Samuel is not an option for anybody, any team. And that's Asante Samuel's words. He is not healthy, not healthy, not healthy. And again, Alberto, you know, I'm going to get into this next. Let's talk. Why don't the 49ers go out and sign somebody like Amari Cooper or somebody like, you know, Keenan Allen? Because I get a lot of emails on this, and I want to spend some time talking about it right after this. Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. Gear up for another banger of a football season with a full-service sportsbook and casino in one. Whether you're firing off futures, betting the spread, spinning the slots late at night, everything runs through one account, one wallet, no switching apps. MyBookie has it all. Right now is the perfect time to get ahead of the curve with college football kicking off August 23rd. MyBookie's got national championship, Heisman odds already live. Lock in your picks early before the lines start moving. And if you're brand new, you get a little extra juice. Sign up with promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan this QR code next to me. Drop in $100. MyBookie adds $50 for free. Go bigger, get more for your money. The action's heating up, the odds are moving, and this season is shaping up to be a good one already. Don't miss it. Bet big anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, including California, with MyBookie. All right, Alberto, the man, the myth, the legend. He says, why don't the 49ers make a phone call to Keenan Allen? Couple things. The 49ers are going younger and cheaper. Keenan Allen doesn't fit into that. And you look at every single player that the 49ers keep bringing in, it is literally guys that will come play on the veteran minimum, and you're just churning the back end of the roster. And the Niners are hoping some of these young pups hit. That's what they're hoping. Now, if the 49ers did want to reach out to, let's say, Keenan Allen, or let's say Amari Cooper, it has to make sense for the player. So if you're Keenan Allen and the Niners call you, you say, hey, we want you to come play for us. Here's what Keenan Allen and Amari Cooper's agents are going to say. What happens if Juwan Jennings ends his holdout and Brandon Ayuk comes back and Ricky Pearsall is there? Do I have a wide receiver spot? Like, am I going to be one of the guys, or do I just rotate in? Am I going to be a bench guy? Like, what's going to happen? Yeah, well, we really like those guys, and they kind of fit, and they've been here, so we're going to probably roll with those guys. You can compete, and if you beat them, then yeah, sure. Why would you come back and go through camp for that? Remember, these guys have made a ridiculous amount of money, and this does matter. Players do not like camp, especially vets like Keenan Allen and Amari Cooper. Keenan Allen's made $132 million in his career. $132 million. Amari Cooper's made $136 million in his career. They ain't there for a paycheck. They're there because they love the game and they want to be able to play the game. They don't want to be riding the bench. So it would make way more sense to go to a system you've already played in, to go to a spot where you know you're going to be a guy, and to wait until camp is a little further down the road. It has to make sense for the team, has to make sense for the player, and the 49ers ain't going to pay that much for one of those guys. They're trying to roll everything forward. Next year's cap, they're trying to roll it all forward. They're not trying to spend any more money. If they were, why wouldn't you just pay Juwan Jennings? They're not going to do that. They might float a little bit more money his way, but I'm telling you, man. Right here, Jam, well said. Big name free agent wide receivers going to wait until injuries start piling up before they sign anywhere. One, they get a skip camp. Doesn't cost them. Two, they assure themselves a spot that is going to be there for a long time. So it's got to be a fit. And why would you go to the 49ers, one of the most run-heavy teams in the NFL? And shoot, not to mention one of the most run-heavy teams in the NFL. If they go three wides in October, you're going to be sitting the bench. You're going to be sitting the bench. So just wait. Just wait. Yeah, the soccer thing, that is a real thing. Firm believer, you get what you pay for. With that being said, good luck, Niners. They're on a budget. Look at what they didn't do in free agency. They are not spending. I know somebody's like, yeah, but they signed Brock, and they signed Kittle, and they signed Warner. They did. And that was huge. But you look at their free agent spending, you look at this roster, and that's the thing. When you choose to go younger and cheaper, you're getting Dallas Flowers. You're getting Trey Brown. You're getting these guys that are going to have to play for you because you skipped the depth portion of the free agency signings. You didn't touch it outside of safety. You didn't touch it. So, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, Jed won't pay big money on a one-year deal. None of these guys weren't a two-year deal. I don't think that it really makes sense right now. And let's see if some of these guys pan out. Let's see. And, you know, the one kind of free agent signing that did qualify was DeMarcus Robinson, and that's bearing fruit. You know, I've got here in my notes. I'm all over the place right now, I know. Look, if DeMarcus Robinson and Ricky Pearsall are your number one and number two wide receiver heading into the season, I'm to the point where I'm like, that's not great. It's not even good, but it is sustainable. Like, DeMarcus Robinson looks great out there. Every freaking play. Every play. DeMarcus Robinson looks great out there. He really does. Obviously, Ricky Pearsall does. Probably, you know, back-to-back, probably best player in camp yesterday. Like, dude looks good. And DeMarcus Robinson is just, he just does what he's supposed to do. He's open all the damn time. Catches it. You get it close to him, he's catching that. Lines up all over. Like, he could do – he's just such a savvy vet coming off a career year, 7 touchdowns. Like, that was such a great signing. And so, like, again, like, John, you just said they didn't sign anybody. It's not applied to all, you know, 22 positions, you know, on offense and defense. Wide receiver is one of the spots that they did go out there and get a quality depth veteran, and that's showing out. You didn't really do that at a lot of other spots, and that is also showing out. But the wide receiver spot, the one area you did, you could kind of skate by with no Juwan Jennings, with no Brandon Ayuk, because DeMarcus Robinson is there. And yeah, I don't want it to be just, you know, Ricky Pearsall and DeMarcus Robinson as your one and two, but that is huge. And man, at practice yesterday, dude, it was all 12 personnel. You had no Kyle Juszczyk, so you can't do two backs, right? 12 personnel. The first number is how many backs? One. That's Patrick Taylor Jr. We'll talk about that in a second. Two tight ends. Luke Farrell and George Kittle were out there, or Jake Tongis and Luke Farrell were out there, or Braden Willis and Rods Dwelly. Was that? Rods Dwelly looked bad yesterday. Anyway, he I don't know. I think maybe it was just a rough day, but he looked slow and lazy out there, which I hate because I love to duct tape Dwelly and so thankful for what he's done. But yeah, for me, the tight end, it's Kittle, it's Farrell, giant gap. Then I would say Braden Willis, then Jake Tongis, another giant gap, then Rods Dwelly. But I think it's going to come down to Braden Willis and Jake Tongis. But I think Braden Willis, he always looks good in practice. The problem is he looked really bad in all those games. I digress. We're not talking tight ends right now. We're talking wide receivers. And here's why I think you can survive, right? Where's Captain Jack right there? Like Simple Jack right now. Like, what do we do? Survive. That's my best Robert Downey Jr. impersonation, Tropic Thunder. But you can survive with a subpar wide receiver group because of 12 and 21 personnel, which the 49ers have been great at. They couldn't do it last year. Shanahan ran the most 11 personnel, which means you have three wide receivers out there. You ain't doing that to start the season. It's going to be 12 and 21 personnel. You can disguise with Kyle Juszczyk and Luke Farrell at the tight end spot because you're only going to have two wide receivers out there. And if that's DeMarcus Robinson, if he doesn't get suspended early, I'm crossing my fingers on that one, I think you could be okay. Now, I do think Juwan Jennings is going to play week one. I really, really do. I do think that that injury is much more contract related than what. And again, this is all stipulation. I could be wrong, and I'm not trying to fault Juwan Jennings at all. That's not what I'm trying to do. And I know they've been talking with Shanahan and Mayoko, whatever else. I'm not saying he didn't get injured. I'm saying if it's a calf injury, you can put a boot on that bad boy and you'd be out there at practice state on the sideline. He ain't doing that. He ain't nowhere to be seen. Maybe he was out there and I just didn't see him. I don't think anybody's seen him. That dude has chosen to stay away. If it is a calf issue, you put a boot on it and you can go stand on the sideline and clap and cheer on your teammates. You can do that. He is not doing that. And maybe it's a horrible injury, but I don't think that it is. I think this is a contract. Oh, look at this. This is what I needed. Papa J says, John, that was not a bad impersonation. There we go. That's all I needed to see. I've been validated. Ben says, I think we keep three tight ends. It will be Willis. They love Willis, man. They love him on special teams. They love how he practices. They love his versatility. I know a lot of fans only saw the preseason, and he was bad in the preseason, and I get that. But, man, he's catching passes out there. He's moving better than he's moved in the past. Braden Willis, that's OU guy. I hate OU, but I'm telling you. Tommy, come on. He said that wasn't that good, John. It was all right. I wouldn't say it was good. this is good. Jennings has chosen, like Robbie, to stay away. I do agree there. Now, I want to talk. I'm going to get angry. I'm just telling you. I'm about to get angry. It's time to talk the rookie that has probably turned into the most polarizing player. My personally favorite draft choice that the 49ers made. Second round pick Alfred Collins. And, you know, he's being bashed out there and all that stuff. Well, we're going to talk about him next. Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right. I've held my tongue long enough. Not that people are waiting on my takes or anything like that. I love Alfred Collins. Before day two of the draft, I said, I think Alfred Collins is number one on the 49ers board. I think that's who they're going to take if he's available. He was there at pick 43. They took him. I was the most excited man ever. If you were watching our draft coverage with me and Ant, I mean, if you were there at the party or watching it online, like, I was stoked. All the draft coverage, I kept talking all, like, Alfred Collins is a second-round pick. Alfred Collins, second-round pick, like a high-end second-round pick, might sneak into the back of the first round. I love that. I loved it. Well, obviously, the injury slash contract, he got raked through the coals on that one. He was the first guy to cross the picket line and sign of those second-round picks, which I thought was awesome, proving he wanted to be there. But he was behind the eight ball. And it is a completely different scheme. Texas defense and what, you know, Kwiatkowski runs there to what, you know, Kucerik and Sala do. It's different. He was a two-gapper. He was a two-gapper, which means read the block, read the gap. You stay on the line of scrimmage by design. That's what you do. Now you are changing to a penetrating style defensive technique that he hasn't done at any point in his career. And you got people kind of, you know, talking about it. I love one-on-ones. As a coach, I loved one-on-ones. I coached O-line and I've coached D-line. And, you know, you can gain a lot from that. That ain't football. That ain't football. It's not. And people talk about one-on-one pass rush and how bad he is. Yeah. If you drafted Alfred Collins in the second round to be a pass rusher, you're an idiot. You are an absolute moron. And now let me just say this. That is not what the 49ers did, mind you. Now, I understand beat reporters have to do their job. And I totally get that. I'm saying a lot of beat reporters or people who cover the team do not watch tape. Rich Madrid's out there somewhere smiling right now. If you ever watched Alfred Collins at Texas in any of the tape, he played in 64 games. Over 5 years. You watch any of them. And if you thought that dude was going to be a pass rusher his rookie year after missing minicamp at OTAs, I'm sorry. You're a moron. And I'm not saying that they watched the tape. I know that they didn't watch the tape. I'm sitting there telling you this. This dude was brought in for one reason. To stop the run. The 49ers gave up the most rushing touchdowns last year since the stat has been collected. I think all the way back to like 1998 or something. More rushing touchdowns. I think it was 31 last year allowed. That's why you brought him in. You brought him in to stop the run game. Now, you're like, well, why would you draft a guy in the second round? You can go look at the Eagles drafted, you know, Jalen Carter or whoever. Like, teams do this all the time because it makes everybody around them better and forces third and long. The number one thing that was wrong with the 49ers last year, not injuries. It wasn't injuries. It was you couldn't get off the damn field in the fourth quarter because you couldn't stop the run. Couldn't stop it. Last in the NFL in fourth quarter points. Gave up on average 13 points a game in the fourth quarter. And all those teams did was run down your damn throat. You know, I was at practice yesterday. And, you know, my whole crew, shout out to Rusty, Miho, and Matthew, the best freaking people in the world. I asked him, I was like, man, y'all let me know. If you see 95 come in, please say something. And they, the whole time, like, that was my number one priority was to watch Alfred Collins. One, that dude is a massive human being. But dude played great. They get into team period, and he made back-to-back plays his first time in. They ran a screen You know, and so like the guard leaves him. He was right on top of the quarterback. Quarterback dumps it off. He retraced his steps perfectly, hustled downfield. It would have been, you can't tackle, right, in team. Like, you don't bring guys to the ground. But, like, he would have blown up this running back screen for, like, a three-yard gain. He was the first one there. Very next play, him and C.J. West were, like, the Bravo group backup defensive tackles. They run basically, like, an inside gap in, or inside zone is what the 49ers offense would call it, right at Alfred Collins. Two guys try to block him. They don't move a freaking inch. Running back plants, cuts back. C.J. West is there as the backside guy. It makes the play. It would have been C.J. West, and I think might have been Bryce Huff. No, it was Luke Gifford. Sorry, it was Luke Gifford. And it was just like, man, that would have been a tackle for loss. And, you know, I saw a lot of the tweets, like, from other people that were there doing a great job. And I'm very thankful for all the people that are there. But it was like, that's two plays in a row that Alfred Collins made. Does he get the stat? Does he get the whatever else? Probably not. But the only reason why that play worked the way that it did was because Alfred Collins was held his point of attack and did not move. Again, that's if you're judging that as a one-on-one rep, you're like, oh, Alfred Collins is not doing nothing. He took up two guys. Yeah, he's not in the backfield, but he didn't get pushed back into the linebackers. And he stopped the design. Like, he was at the point of attack for the offense, force the running back to cut out of the desired hole, and then a tackle for loss. Like, it's not always paint by numbers. And I understand, like, the simplicity of this guy pushed that guy further, tug of war, this guy wins. I get that. That's not the goal. That doesn't happen on game day. And yeah, sometimes it's really cool to have that tackle for loss and C.J. West blowing guys up and pushing them back. That's awesome. That's not what you need all the time. And so you got this guy, Alfred Collins, at pick 43, and he is there to do a damn job. And that's to stop the run game. It's to stop the run game. That's what he was brought in here to do. If you brought him in here to be a pass rusher, you're an idiot. Now, you're hoping he could develop into that. That's what you're hoping for. But you're not hoping he's going to develop into that the second week he's been with the team. No, it's going to take time. But the one thing that is not going to take time is he is already fulfilling a role freaking day one. But it's hard to see that unless you know what the hell you're looking for. And it's just like, do you not remember what happened last year? That was the number one issue on the team. You couldn't stop the run. You could not stop the run. And what was the primary focus of Robert Saleh whenever he came in? We're going to stop the run. We're going to force third and long. Then we're going to go NASCAR package. And we're going to put our secondary in a good position. And we're going to help our linebackers. That's huge. Ben, thank you. Day one, Collins is stuffing the run as a rookie. Best part, the pass rush will eventually come too. I think it will too. I really, really do. Like, people don't understand team defense. I shouldn't say that. People do understand it, but it's hard to watch and look for. And you could be like, oh, man, Fred Warner or Luke Gifford or whoever made an awesome play right there. If a linebacker is making the run stop, there's a defensive tackle or defensive end somewhere that made their job easier. And that's what Alfred, like, you got to look at Alfred Collins like Steve Nash, right? Like, he is a distributing point guard in the run game. He ain't going to have a lot of tackles. He ain't going to have a lot of tackle for losses. He ain't going to have a lot of sacks. That ain't it. And so, like, if you're a box score watcher, yeah, you're not going to like this guy. But what he's going to do is he's going to make life easier for Bosa, Mikael Williams, C.J. West, Kevin Givens, and all three lines. He's going to make life easy for everybody. Easier. Again, he's going to have assists, but guess what? That's not tracked. But you're going to, like, they're going to have runs, and they're going to say, well, can't go there. That's what's going to happen. That's what his job is. And that's what I'm super pumped about. And, like, I was like, all right. I want to wait till I get there, and I want to see how bad of a player this dude is. And I was just like, man, this dude was awesome. Like, as advertised, exactly what you wanted. And, yeah, the run is going to be stopped. Boats, it is not fair to say one-on-one when Collins is involved. That ain't going to happen. You even heard C.J. West say yesterday, like, they were asking about all these different players and stuff. And they're like, what are you, Alfred Collins? He's like, that dude ain't going to be moved. He's going to take two blockers every damn play. dude is, I'm just saying, man. So like, everybody wants sexy and flashy and whatever else. And I don't know, man. And I've seen people like, oh, he's just like Kinlaw. It's like, what? Dude has never missed a game because of injuries, ever. And Kinlaw was a pass rushing defensive tackle. And you took him 16th overall. No, I think it was 14th overall. 14th overall, not 43rd. Like, there's just no comparison. Yeah, they're both big. He's 6'6", 330 plus. I get that. But, yeah. I don't know. Right here. Has Collins batted down any passes? Not really to my knowledge yet. They will come. He has done that in spades. And, I mean, he's got a longer wingspan than LeBron freaking James, and he's 6'6", 330. The dude is a mountain. Brick says, Collins is a very important chess piece to allow the others to shine and do what they do best. Man, perfect. Cow chip to Kinlaw is the opposite of Collins. There's nothing about them besides the fact that they play defensive tackle and they're both large. That is the end of all comparisons with those two. And I get, like, as soon as you inject Kinlaw's name, you appeal to a certain amount of anger and frustration and missed opportunity and injuries and all those things. Outside of that, they're nothing alike. They are absolutely nothing. And that's not a negative against Kinlaw. I'm just saying they're not even the same damn players. They're not even the same style players. They're just both large. That's the only difference. Anyway, sorry, guys. I got a little heated up there. Logan, real sports fans give love to players who do the dirty work. Yes. Papa J, I am passionate about this. Somebody said, like, why am I raising my voice? I'm passionate about this. I love this. This is my job. This is what I choose to spend my time with. I love football, and I love the community, so I want to talk about it. So sometimes I want to raise my voice. Remember, y'all clicked on my face. Ben, Kinlaw, you never see Collins get turned around and pushed out of his gap like Kinlaw. I've never seen that. I've watched every Texas game for the past, I don't know, 25 years. Like, no. Like, it's just stupid. Kinlaw equals Nolan. That is, Cowchip don't know what he's talking about. Seems like he always does. Mark, watching the teams have to run around Collins is going to be fun. It's huge, man. Kinlaw is mid at best. Collins has all pro potential. He just has such a perfect, he's great at this thing. He's great at stopping the run and taking up space and never getting pushed back. That's what he'll get pushed back every now and then, but very rarely. That's what he does. That's what he brings to the table. Now you're hoping, and this is why you spend the 43rd pick on him, the measurables. And somebody commented on something the other day. They were like, CJ West should have been the second round pick and Alfred Collins should have been the fourth round pick. And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that. We'll see how it pans out. And I love CJ West. That dude is freaking the man. But the measurables are such a big difference. That's why you spend the 43rd pick on him, because he is 6'6", because he is 330 plus, because he has longer arms than LeBron James. Like, the measurables increase the ceiling. And so you know he can do this thing, which is stop the run, and you're hoping he can develop into a pass rusher. It takes longer than a week. It takes longer than a week. He wasn't even at minicamp and OTAs. Like, he's got to catch up. It's just, anyway. Yeah, Cal Chipto both should have been second rounders. I like that. So now let's talk about the linebackers, because I think that this is a big deal. And so we're going to kind of pivot this conversation now from the defense. Actually, you know what? I do have to talk about, I'm going to start that and come back. I do have to talk, while we're on defensive tackles, Kevin Givens' injury is ginormous. Kevin Givens torn, don't know if it's a torn pec, but it's a pectoral injury, and they said he's going to miss a lot of the season. I assume it's a torn pec. That is a gigantic injury, because this was one of the youngest position groups on the team, one of the youngest position groups across the NFL, that defensive tackle group. Obviously, like, you draft Alfred Collins, we just talked about, you draft CJ West, you bring in Sebastian Valdez, undrafted free agent. You have Kalia Davis, who really only played 1 year. He was working with the ones yesterday. You have no veteran presence outside of Jordan Elliott now in the defensive tackle room, and that is terrifying. You want these young guys to fulfill their roles and to be quality players and all those things. Kevin Givens being out is huge. Remember, Kevin Givens has been in the Niners since 2019. him and Nick Bosa. Like, those are the two of the longest tenured 49ers that were, you know, came here as rookies and are still with the team. They're two of the longest. Kevin Givens is so, he's the best technician in that defensive tackle group. He's the smallest defensive tackle we have on the roster and the best versus double teams. Just freaking awesome. So good versus double teams. Just technique. It hurts that he's out. You need a defensive tackle. You need somebody else to come in there because Evan Anderson's young, Khalil Davis is young. Like, it's just young. And you're hoping some of those guys step up, but I am terrified, if I want to be honest. Like, you've got the talent. You've got the potential in that room. I think you got to bring in another vet. Like an Eli Apple. I hate using Eli Apple. And yeah, does Valdez make this 53 man? It's possible now. It is way more like you were looking at Sebastian Valdez, the tank, one of the strongest guys in the room, to be a practice squad player. Now it's like, oh crap. Like, can we afford to lose him? If somebody claims him, like, yeah, you want him back on the practice squad, but oh yeah, he's cheap and young. So yeah, you want to get younger and cheaper. He's check. So hey, I don't know. And I'll be very honest. I was not on Sebastian Valdez all day yesterday. But we're going to see how he kind of performs. We are. So let's get real quick. I got to take a drink of coffee. Let's talk linebackers, because there is a linebacker out there that nobody's talking about that is almost a guaranteed starter. And everybody's talking about other rookies and whatever else. And I'm sitting here telling you right now, he ain't starting week one. The guy that is going to start week one, nobody's talking about.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, Mark, my man. He says the linebackers behind Collins will rarely have to check their gap for that shirt. So you just fly up and stuff the run. Like, it's seamless. I mean, it is just seamless when Alfred Collins is out there in the run game. Now, can he start to contribute in the pass? That's huge. So let's talk linebackers. Fred Warner is one, linebacker one. It's not even close. D. Winters is linebacker two. It's not even close. And linebacker three, I don't think it's close either. And I don't want to say it's already been determined, but I'm going to go probably 75-25. I'd say 75% chance Luke Gifford is your starting number three linebacker. He's taken all the reps with the ones, all of the reps with the ones through training camp so far. And Luke Gifford is not, how do I say this? Linebacker is probably one of the funnest positions where instincts make up for traits. And it's not like he's a bad traits guy. Ran a 4.6. He's 29 years old, 6'3", 240, 35-inch vertical, 10-1 broad. Like, he's got explosiveness. But I'll tell you right now, like, when Gifford was out there, I was watching him the whole time. Number 57, you know, breaks my heart. I seeing that jersey out there, but whatever. The dude just knows what plays are coming. The whole time. He is on top of everything. It almost looked like a walkthrough for him during team drills yesterday. He's the linebacker three. And so in nickel packages, he would be off. But, like, you know, you consider kind of those 12 starters. I know you have 11. But that nickel slash third linebacker, it only accounts for about 24% of defensive snaps. But Luke Gifford is somebody you could trust. You could tell he knows what is happening. He is a step ahead of everything. And so where I was watching Tim Period was stacked behind the defense, right? So, like, and I mean, I was literally in the B gap, C gap of the offense. So, like, I'm staring down. You've got your safety to the right and the other safety to the left. Like, I am looking straight at whoever the strong side linebacker was in 4-3 set. So, like, I'm looking at the play through 57's contact, right, like, lens, his vision. He is making the correct steps and reads, like, man, like a freaking machine, and just right where he needs to be. And, you know, they don't target the wide receiver or the tight end or the, you know, running back, his side, because he's just on top of it. Like, it's just, I'm not really making a lot of plays out there, but he is always where he needs to be, and he is right on top of everything. And so it's just a security comfort blanket. And it's just like, this dude knows what the damn assignment is all the time. And so, and yeah, big break. Easy to know what is coming when the team drills, plays are scripted. You don't get the offensive script. You don't get that. And you would be flipped out if your defense was cheating and whatever plays. This is somebody that's played in the NFL for a long damn time. For a long time. And so, I mean, he's going into his seventh season. And he's played 73 games. And he's never been a part of the Niners thing. And I don't even think he's been coached by Robert Saleh before. So, like, and I get it. Yeah, you can say that. But why isn't Nick Martin doing that? Why isn't Curtis Robinson doing it? Why is it Jalen Graham? Why is it Tato Bethune? Why are they not doing that? Like, he doesn't have the splash and you're just like, oh, like, none of that. It's just that dude's got the answers to the test. And you're right about that. Like, he knows what the hell is coming. And so, I don't know. I just walked away from practice saying, wow, like, this gives you time with Nick Martin, and he just gets to learn and see and study and just ask questions and get there. And Nick Martin did not look bad. I freaking love Nick Martin. But a lot of people were like, oh, Nick Martin's going to be the starting number two linebacker. No. No, he's not. That's D Winters. That's done. He might not be the starting number three linebacker, and that's not necessarily a negative thing. Not necessarily. But, yeah, and on top of that, Gifford is an elite special teams player, which that has been a priority this offseason. That has been a gigantic overhaul, getting rid of all those guys. And so, like, DFF was always in this role, right, where he was the number three, and I was like, why is DFF getting snaps of the defense? Why? I'm telling you, Gifford is a major upgrade, and that dude, he's going to be announced as a freaking starter. I'm just telling you, if he stays healthy and if he stays on this and whatever else, like, I get it. But Luke Gifford is somebody that needs to be talked about more, period. Because that guy, he gets the damn job done. It's not sexy, but he's going to be right where you want. And that was always my problem with DFF, was just all the misses. Dude couldn't tackle to save his life. He's a coverage linebacker, but falls down in coverage. Sucked at special teams. He was awful. Like, yeah, I know he's Fred's best friend, and that's cool and all that stuff, but I don't know. I said this yesterday, you know, at training camp. I walked away from practice feeling much better about this team overall. Much more confidence. Much more just like, okay, like, the wide receivers. Man, God forbid Ricky Pearsall and DeMarcus Robinson are your one and two. No team wants to start like that. But, like, all right. Yeah, we could do that. Luke Farrell was consistent. Offensive line was good. The backup quarterback, Mac Jones, whenever he stepped in, offense still moved well. Brock Purdy knew where he was going with the ball at all the times. Like, calm, cool, poise. It was awesome. Secondary, man, we've got some viable options. Dallas Flowers, Upton Stout, that's who you want it to be. But, like, all right, Dallas Flowers. I think he's kind of won that job. And then it's like, oh, dude, this guy Luke Gifford, always where he's supposed to be. The defensive tackle everybody's bitching about. Dude making plays for other people nonstop while he's out there. Like, I just walked away from practice yesterday. It was just one practice. But it was just like, huh, a lot of the questions that I've been asking all offseason, and a lot of other people have as well, was just, huh, all right, you kind of see. It's fitting together. Do I think this is a Super Bowl team or anything? I don't. I really don't. But, man, you look at the Vegas odds. Or right now, the 49ers, the over-under, if you want to bet on my bookie, use 49ers. It's 10.5 wins. That's pretty good. I don't think if you just look at the team, I'm not saying that this is an 11-win team just as it stacks, but you compare this roster with what they're putting together, the coaching staff, the schedule. I'm like, huh. Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. And yeah, there's still work to be done. Every single roster has major question marks. But then you look at our division, and it's like, good Lord. Seattle Seahawks, probably bottom three offensive line in the NFL. You're betting on Sam Darnold with a bad offensive line. I don't like that. They've got a great secondary in Seattle, but they've got some issues. Great D-line in Seattle, but they've got some issues for sure. Look at the Rams. Who the hell is their quarterback going to be? I know they just paid Kyron Williams. Love seeing people get paid. But is Jimmy G's going to be your quarterback? Really? Defense has some question marks still on it. Yeah, you've got some young pieces on that D-line and stuff that you really, really like. But, man, that cornerback room is rough. Arizona Cardinals, they've already lost so many guys. Can they finally put it together, offense and defense? Yeah, they keep, you know, building their roster through the draft, which I do like. But, like, this is beyond a winnable division. By far one of the weakest divisions in football. Yeah, I was, you know, talking with my man Yacek earlier today. Like, if you were in the NFC West, if you were in the AFC North or the NFC North, the 49ers probably would be, like, the third team. Maybe second in some of those. But, man, like, I'm telling you, the 49ers are in a position, you only play what the schedule says. Schedule is freaking cake. Still got to win those games, and I'm not saying they're going to win them all, but you're in an easy schedule with a very easy division, and you're answering a lot of questions on your own roster. Can those young guys step up? Can you rely on that many young guys? That's questions that are going to have to be answered. But again, the 49ers have, I think, 10 picks next year. Like, they've got capital, and they have $40 million salary cap that they're one to keep. But if you get on a run, and like, I do not mind this trajectory where you're like, look, we're going to get younger, we're going to get cheaper. There's going to be question marks, but we're hoping some guys are going to step up and fill that. Let's go through the start of the season. If we catch hot, man, you bring in guys like Emmanuel Sanders or whatever else, and you can trade and you can do all those things and you can add to. But let's see what we got first. Because God forbid things are not good early and you start off this season like last season. Well, now you have that cap to kind of say, hey, we're going to use this as a developmental year, whatever else. Yeah, the hot seat's going to be on for Kyle, but you're not jeopardizing the future for what might be kind of a cap season. But if you catch fire and things start going well, then you can go all in. So it is kind of limping in to the 2025 season, but free agency told us that. And then you look at the draft and it's like, okay, younger, cheaper is really the way to go with 11, whether that's the way to go or not, we'll see. But that is the decision they have made. That is the decision that they have made. We'll have to see how it goes. This has been fun. I didn't get through half my notes. I'm going to carry these over for tomorrow or Thursday. We'll figure that out. But man, really do appreciate you guys. Hopefully you enjoyed the show today. If you did, please subscribe if you haven't already, or hit that like button. We'd appreciate it. And until next time, man, this is fun. Football, 49ers football is here. I ain't going nowhere, baby. I can't wait till we get some film. We're a week out from getting some film. And all that's going to be up over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. Every offensive play, every defensive play, every special teams play for the past 3.5 seasons up on there as soon as you sign up. But every preseason game, everything's going to be there. I cannot wait. You guys are the best. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.